Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Yes, it is Wednesday, which means it's time for parenting, and we are joined, as always, by Dr. Joanna Fortune for all your parenting queries. A reminder that you can get in touch with your questions. Email afternoon@newstalk.com. Hi, Joanna. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me in.
I'm delighted to have you in because we've got some juicy questions, and we'll start off with this one. A question of jealousy. Hello, yes. I'm a mum of two. Our baby girl just turned 4 months and our older son is 6 years old. He was so excited to become a big brother at first, but lately things have really changed. He's been acting out, throwing tantrums and refusing to listen. He even says that we love the baby more than him. It breaks my heart because I know he's trying to get our attention, but between the sleepless nights and the feeding, I can't help but feel like I am failing him. I try to carve out some one-on-one time, but it never feels like enough. How can we help him adjust to this huge change without making him feel left out and without completely running ourselves into the ground?
Oh, I mean, this, you're in the trenches. Like, the baby's only 4 months old, so you're still very much in what's often called a codependent stage of development, where that little baby doesn't yet realize they're a separate being to their parent. They still think you're one and the same. So they don't see themselves. They only see themselves reflected through you. So that's why it is so all consuming, entirely draining and depleting. And of course, it's joyous and lovely as well. But sometimes you realize it was joyous in retrospect. When you're in it, it's just really, really hard. And then add to that that you're consumed with all of this. You have a 6-year-old who had all of you all the time for 6 years, give or take. Okay, that's a long time. And suddenly there's this little usurper that's come along and has displaced the order and is consuming everything you've got, or at least most of what you've got. I don't say that to make any parent feel badly that, oh, I don't have enough to give. You're doing everything that you can do and you're supposed to do. And in lots of ways, your 6-year-old's reaction is what they're supposed to feel. You know, so this is an evolving situation. So even by the time you digest this answer and you work it through and think it through, another week has gone by, another week, and it gradually you're setting a new rhythm, because that's what we're doing when we bring a new baby into a family. It's not that somebody gets pushed out of the circle so somebody else can come in. It's that the circle actually expands to allow another person fit, but everybody's still in it. But that's hard for our kids to see, like, oh, there's less of you. And you're like, no, I have enough to go around. So I think one of the best things you can do is when he's saying things to you, like, you love the baby more than me, the instinct is to, no, of course I don't. But actually what you're doing there is you're minimizing what he's feeling. You're minimizing how he's saying it, and he may feel dismissed. It might be better to stay within that framework of acceptance and empathy and say, I know the baby's taking up a lot of my time. I know the baby's taking up a lot of my focus, and it must feel like you're being left out. It will get easier because my heart is big enough for both of you. So I still have all the same love I always had for you, but I think it must feel like you can't get my attention at the moment. And I'm sorry it feels like that. So you're just acknowledging and validating how he's feeling. You're not saying, ergo, I'm going to give the baby to someone else and give you back all of me. You're saying it's going to get easier, as much to reassure yourself as him. And I think acknowledging the change is a big part of helping him to adjust. And it is a process of adjusting. So give him a helping role with the baby. You know, you do this, you bring that over there for me. Can you keep an eye on the baby while I heat up? So, you know, whatever way you're doing it, hold the nappies, you do the wipes, any little bit that you can do that gets your child actively involved. And then plan to have some extra one-to-one time, and it will take planning. That's just the reality of a small baby. And that means enlisting and activating your support network. If that's family, for some of us, that's friends, depending on where you live and where family live. If you've got friends who are still at that stage of, oh, new baby, can I do anything? Instead of saying, oh, that's so nice of you, thanks so much, and not giving them a job, be specific, yes. Actually, if you could take my six-year-old to the park after school, that would really help. Actually, if you could just pop in and do a bit of homework while I'm doing this. If you could take the baby for a walk in the buggy so I could sit and do the homework one afternoon, that would help. So tell people what you need and be specific, but it will get easier. You're all just establishing a new shared rhythm.
What if the older child is at a point where they don't really want to be, or they're showing all this, you know, there's talk of tantrums and stuff like this here. If they don't want to be involved with, you know, you're saying about giving them a job, what if they're really resisting that? Because that can be so tough.
And it might be that the job isn't about the baby per se, because they might be going, I don't want to touch that thing over there. I have no interest. But you might be saying, you know, what you could do for me is you could wash all the veggies up at the sink and leave them to one side for me to do dinner. Give them a job that's about you, that's about them. A little bit more responsibility helps them feel occupied and engaged. So it doesn't have to be specifically about the baby. And it equally, you're dead right. It could be a six-year-old going, no, I just want to kick my ball around outside. And that's what you've got to find the resourcing to do, is find someone who can do that with him, if not you.
Yeah, find the resourcing, find the job. Okay, another question in. My 15-month-old son is due to start creche in the next month and I will return to work shortly thereafter. He's my third child and his two older sisters both attended the same creche from 18 and 12 months old until starting school. Despite knowing the creche is a safe and nurturing environment, I'm feeling very anxious about this transition. He is a very sensitive child and seeks cuddles from me or his father at regular intervals throughout the day. As he's my last child, he's doted upon. He's only ever been left with his grandmother a handful of times for short stints. Otherwise, he's been solely with either me or my husband or both of us. The creche will do a 3-day induction, building up to 3 hours. I fear he will be very distressed at being left there. He often breaks down in tears if I leave the room when we're visiting people, even if he's familiar with them. He frequently checks that I'm present when we're in new surroundings, as well as at home, and loves to be held, if even fleetingly, to reassure him. Do you have any advice on how we can prepare him and ourselves for this transition?
I think it's mostly preparing yourselves.
Yeah.
Because that's actually the bit that I'm feeling. I'm even feeling the panic from this parent as you're reading through.
Which, completely understandable.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a huge transition in a child's life and a baby's life, but also in a parent's life. That transition back into the workplace and back into that kind of structure, and handing your baby over, even though it's into a place that you have history and familiarity, your other two children went there and you had a really positive experience. That's a help, but they won't necessarily be the exact same people that you're handing your baby to. So some of it is you using the induction period to familiarize and reassure yourself that this is okay. I think it's a big ask of a 15-month-old to go from nobody else ever caring for them to now professional staff team who are on shift and days off and different people, even with mostly consistent care. That's a huge jump for a child. So you've got a month here. I'm going to suggest that you start leaving him, not with random people, but with, you know, grandparents, other people in your family or your network that can even pop into the house while you pop out, even if it's just popping to the shops. You're only gone 20, 30 minutes and then back again. I'm not saying all day, but building up a little bit of his tolerance with seeing you go and return. So it's that separation and reunification, because that's often the hot point of tension when you're transitioning a child into any new environment. It could be big school, by the way, as well. But into this, is that point of saying goodbye can be the trigger. Very often, you know, the child will be crying, you'll be crying, and the staff will tell you, you were gone 10 minutes and he was fine, you know, but you don't feel fine anymore. So that's the big thing. I think if you start practicing leaving and coming back, like even if he's crying when you leave a room, that would be a bit of just a warning for me that you've got to do a little bit more to get him ready beforehand. Now look, at he could be going in there and there are other children and lovely staff and the room is great and he could be quite happy to go in, and it still doesn't mean you will be, that you might need that reassurance. So start leaving him with safe, trusted people, just so you can practice leaving and returning, leaving and returning. It's really good for people permanence development, which is where children realize that people are forever. Even if you don't see them, they still exist and you trust that they're going to return to you. Drive or walk, whatever the arrangement is, by the childcare setting. Stop and wave to it. Hello, say his name is Sam. Hello, Sam's creche. Name it. celebrate it, be positive, not hyperactive, just positive about it, and keep doing that so that you're pointing it out and naming it. It helps to create some familiarity for him ahead of time. And also give yourself and him permission that he may need more than 3 days gradual build-up. Lots of children will do it in 3 days. Lots of children will not do it in 3 days, especially a child who has no previous experience of being cared for. So you might need to do that and try as best you can to have the same one or two, ideally two, because people are allowed to have a sick day or a holiday, you know, to have two people that will greet him at handover so he can begin to anticipate with certainty who's going to be smiling at him while you're saying goodbye. Mm. So try and tell them, talk to the childcare setting. These are professional early years educators, carers. Talk to them and say, he hasn't had this experience. He is quite sensitive. He can be clingy. He really needs hugs and seeks them out. This is what he does when he's looking for a hug, so that they can recognize it and say, oh, you're looking for a cuddle. Let's see what we can do with that. So there can be some consistency between the responses he gets at home and the responses he's going to get in creche. And just go gently with yourself. I think those first 3 days you're easing him in, have somebody meet you, go for a nice coffee and a cake. Go back and pick him up, but don't just walk around the building waiting to be called, you know, keeping yourself highly anxious. And I say that because so many of us do that, especially in those early few days. But just go gently with yourself.
Yeah, great advice. One that I will be taking myself. Go gently with yourself. Next one. My 19-year-old son has always been a very well-behaved kid. He was good in school. He's never been in any significant trouble. He's bright and loving, and I'm very fond of him. He has recently started second year in college. His results in first year were a bit underwhelming, but he got through it. I put the dip in his performance down to the change in environment and the increased freedom he has at university. It wasn't something I was really worried about. However, I recently learned that my son has not been attending many classes at all. His friend broke his ankle a few weeks back and has been doing his college work from home while he recovers. It turns out that my son has been going to his house rather than to his classes for at least a couple of weeks. I only know this because the other boy let that slip to his mother, who told me. I'm not so much worried about him missing lectures for the moment as I am about how convincing his lies have been. This got me wondering what else he's been lying about. I subsequently found out that he had lied about staying over at a friend's house for the weekend as well. I'm very upset about this. How do I get him to be honest with me, especially when he is still living under my roof?
Oh, there's layers to this, I think.
A lot going on there.
Yeah, there really is. I think in order to get him to be honest, which is the crux of the question here, you have to find out why he feels he must lie to you. Because that's going to be the actual answer. It's about trust. And I think third level, and starting third level, isn't just a transition for our kids. And going from leaving cert to third level, that's a massive leap. You're going from something that's hyper-structured, arguably rigid, like the school environment. You're often going from uniforms and schedules and everyone knows where you are all the time. You have to have parental consent to miss a class, never mind a day when you're in secondary school. But nobody's going to call your parents when you go to third level. Like, they don't care if you go or not. That's entirely up to you. And you have to self-regulate all of those demands, deadlines, study, all of those pieces. So I'm wondering overall, how has he adjusted, or is he adjusting to the newfound independence? And that might be some of what's going on here. Maybe he hasn't experienced independence. Maybe mom still is doing a whole lot of this for him, is still calling him to get up in the morning, is still keeping an eye on the schedule, is still saying, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you with? And if you haven't loosened some of those parental oversights at this stage, he's second year and third level, he's going to find a way to get around them. And that might be, based on the little snippet we get here, that might be what's going on. I'd also wonder, Fionnuala, is he happy in his chosen course? You know, when you fill out the CAO with the best will in the world, you're like, I will love doing whatever random thing you've put down. You can get into first year and go, hate it. Don't like it at all. It's not what I thought this was going to be. I'm not even enjoying college life. This isn't what I thought it would be. Maybe sit with him and instead of going, why are you lying to me and you must be honest, say, I'm just watching what's going on in the last few months and you don't seem happy. And I'm wondering what it's about. Like, how is college going? Do you like your course? Would you rather be doing another course? Is college not working out? Would you like to hit pause on this and go get a job and see how that works out for you and return to education if you want to, or stay working? There are lots of ways of doing it. But I wonder if this parent was to come at it from a more mature conversational perspective of something is not working here. Let's get to the bottom of it. And if it's, no, I like it. I'm just, you know, dossing. I don't want to change anything. Don't want to get a job. I'm just quite happy to doss. And I think I'll get it, do enough to cruise through at the end. And that's what I'm there. I'm just not that engaged or passionate about it. I'm treading water. Then it's about the boundaries of you can go stay with friends. I just need to know where you are. Because if anything was to happen, I'm adamant you're X place, but you're not. You're in Y place. That's really unsafe. So you just have to let me know where you are. That's all this is about. But this is about growing your parenting up in line with your child's stage of development so that they can grow up. Because otherwise you've got this push-pull of I'm still behaving. It's kind of petulant adolescent stage, but I'm young adult and out there with all the demands and expectations of young adulthood. And I'm not actually socially equipped for it if your parents are still doing everything for you. So I think it might be about brokering a new arrangement at home. These are my expectations. There's very few rules here, but this is from a mutual respect. This is what I expect from you. And just really kind of having a chat with him. But having a conversation doesn't mean taking a deep breath and listing out all the things he's doing wrong and what he now must do right. It's mostly about listening. And I think it starts with how are you finding college and the whole experience, the course, but the whole college experience. And don't be shocked or try not to be disappointed if he says, I hate it. Come at it with creative solutions. What could we do instead?
Joanna Fortune, thank you so much for that.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.